welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome everyone to the broadcast today. Father, I just give thanks for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, the judges of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I pray for your people all over the world that you grant them a spirit of grace, that you strengthen every one of them in their inward man by your spirit with divine ability and might. Father, I thank you that you are going to bring to pass your purposes in the earth. You do all things after the counsel of your own will. And your word says that Jesus is not coming back. He must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things. And so he is going to have a people that are brought onto perfection, that will walk like he walked, a body full of the power of God. And then he's coming back. And he is going to take over all the nations of this world before he comes back. All right, let's get into today's message. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Lord said, you're blessed, and this word blessed means happy. When you're poor in spirit, why? Because the kingdom of God is for you. You're happy when you mourn, when you're meek, when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and when you're merciful. Why? Because you're going to be comforted, you're going to be filled, and you're going to receive mercy, okay? Turn to Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, you know, if you don't dig into these things and you don't study the thing, you read right over scriptures, never know what they're saying. Let's look at this in that same scripture in the Common English Bible. And put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. This word renewed in Strong's exhaustive concordance means to renovate, to renew. Vine's expository dictionary says to make new, renewal of the inward man. This is saying as we put on the new man, we are becoming the new man. So how do we put on the new man? Let's read that in verse 12. See, it says verse 10, put on the new man, verse 12, put on therefore. Therefore is referring back to the new man. Put on therefore the elect, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy. See, blessed are the merciful. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. So we see here we're putting on the new man, or the way we put on the new man is simply obey the word of God. It's practicing the word of God. It's practicing the faith. And it says here, that's part of becoming a new creature in Christ. It says you're renewed. As you do this, you are renewed, rebuilt, after the knowledge of him that created him. You're being rebuilt as you do this. See, you become like what you yield to, what you practice. That's what you become like. So being spiritually regenerated is holding fast to what Jesus did on the cross and practicing the word. Even when it talks about the commission, it says, go into all the world and make Christians of all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, I want to say something, this really bothered me lately, and it's bothered me from time to time. Every time I turn around, I hear about someone in the news being accused of doing wrong, And people get on social media and all start accusing this person or that person, and they don't even know if the person is guilty. And it really is grievous when you hear some of the hate, the strife, the accusations flying everywhere. You know, whatever happened to we're innocent until proven guilty? And the burden of proof is on the accuser, not the person being accused. If you're gonna accuse someone, you gotta have proof. You gotta know this stuff, not just, well, I think they did this. You know, people's lives have been destroyed because of false accusations. People have had to endure all kinds of emotional pain and heartache because of all the hateful speech spoken against them. It's all over the world. And how many out there are Christians doing this? Are you being forbearing? Are you showing mercy? You know, you could see, let me give you an example. You could see two different people committing the same trespass against other people. And do you know one of them could be trying not to do it and the other one just willfully doing it? You don't know. You don't know which one's in the slavery of sin and they don't like what they're doing. They're trying not to do it. You know, take for instance, you could have two people making a racist comment. And okay, they both have racism in their heart, but one of them knows it's not right to be a racist and they don't want to be that way. But they get in certain situations that may pop out of their mouth. Why? Because it's in them. They just need to be delivered. But you judge them and you're hard on them and if you ever say anything in public like that, they'll crucify you. And you don't even know if that person has already recognized that's in them and go, I don't want to treat people that way. That's wrong. We all have things in our heart that are not right. And people that are walking with God are working at overcoming that. All right. You know, look at how Jesus judged, because what I'm bringing up is how all these people judge people in the flesh. John 5:30, here's how Jesus judged. He said, I can't in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. He's listening to the Father. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which have sent me. Now turn to Isaiah 11:3. Shall make him of quick understanding the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. This is talking about Jesus. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay. See, Jesus didn't judge by what he saw or what he heard. You know, you'll experience this in life. And if you haven't already, you will. You'll see situations and someone will look, it'll definitely look like they're wrong. And then you'll go, oh, they weren't wrong at all. One time I saw this video of this confrontation between a police officer and this guy. And in the video, the policeman pointed, the guy had a rifle and the policeman pointed his gun at him. He was a criminal fleeing from the crime. And the policeman pointed his gun at him and said, drop your arms. And so the guy was laying down his rifle. And then the cop shot him. And I sat there and saw that and I go, oh my God, the guy was surrendering. Why did you shoot him? And then it showed the same video from the back angle. And you know what was going on? As that guy was laying down his rifle, you couldn't see it from the angle, the front angle. He was reaching in his back pocket for a gun. And he had his hand on the gun, was about to shoot him. And there was a cop on the backside and he said, gun. And so the cop shot him. And so it was very good police work. And the police were just and right in what they're doing. But if you only saw the one view, you would say definitely that cop was wrong. But when you saw the back view, that guy was grabbing a gun out of his back pocket and was about to shoot the cop. So, you see this a lot on social media and on the news, and policemen are accused. And there is some police brutality out there, but there's times where they're falsely accused. Okay, look at Matthew 7:1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Do you want to be judged that way? That's why Judge nothing before the time. Hold back on your judgment until you know the whole story. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast the beam or cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Okay. So we should always be considering, you know, our own ways and let God correct us. Then when we're brought to the place we can see clearly our brother or sister is wrong, then we help them get corrected. It didn't say after we clearly see, go point your finger at your brother or sister and condemn them. Okay. Now, this scripture, it also brings something we need to consider to be set, to see things clearly. We have to be set free, and we have to learn, and this is very important. I want to get into this in this broadcast. We need to learn to abide in the light of God's word, because sin is darkness and we live in a dark world and it can blind you. You know, look at 1 John 2:9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even to now. See, and there's Christians out there, boy, they just go off on people and they hate people and they judge people and they think they're in the light. They think they're with God and they're hating their brother and they're in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light and there's none occasion of stumbling him. I'm not saying let sin go, but I'm saying don't judge in the flesh. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eye. See, hate is a darkness that can blind your eyes. Let's go ahead and take a break here. And we're going to take this up about walking in the light here in a minute. But let's first put a song here. Oh, and this is a new song that we just got produced called More Than Conquerors by Pamela Pontia.
Thank you.
Okay, turn to Psalm 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And let me tell you something. Take heed to what I'm saying. You have to make an ongoing effort to walk in the light of God's word, or you can be blinded. You can go off and you can be accusing people, and you can be judging in the flesh, and you can be spewing hate. And there are Christians on social media doing this. And they don't even think they're wrong. They think they're right because they're not walking in the light. If they walk in the light, they keep the word of God before their eyes. And they go, wait a minute. I don't know for sure if this guy's guilty, and I don't need to be spewing hate towards him. I need to forbear him. I need to show mercy. And I'm going to show you the importance of this, of keeping a heart of love and forbearance and mercy, how it will cause the word of God to be conceived in your heart, and how getting hate in your heart and strife and accusing will cause a heart that is resistance towards the word of God being conceived in your heart. Let's talk more about the light. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, we have to walk in the word of God to get our eyes opened and to stay open. Look at this, Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. See, as you're walking in the word of God, you'll get your eyes open more and more. And you'll see, oh, I didn't handle that situation right. I didn't handle that situation. And you keep being corrected. You abide in the light. Okay, now let's look at how that affects the word of God being conceived in our heart. James 1:18. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth. One translation says, rebirthed us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. He's making us like God. Wherefore, that's referring back to him getting us born again of the word of God. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And it goes on talking about the way we act can either open up our heart to receive the word or make it harden. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word engrafted is implanted, which is able to save your souls. That's how you're born again. You plant the word in your heart. We get born again as we lay aside all filthiness, naughtiness, and wrath. Then we can receive the word of God in our heart. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now, do you think if you're deceiving your own self that you are getting the word of God implanted in you? No. So you have to be a doer. And being a doer of the word is how we yield to God. That's how we submit to God. See, we saw we're changed as we put on the new man, and putting on the new man is obedience to the word. And here in James, it says we put the word in our heart, we're changed. So anybody can do this. So it's a matter of putting the word in your heart, practicing the word. You'll be changed. You'll be changed doing this. But if you walk around and you yield to hate, strive, judging in the flesh, speaking bitterness out toward, it'll keep your heart from receiving the engrafted word. Show mercy. Be long-suffering. Be forbearing. Obey these words. Turn to Jeremiah 18:1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again. See, we must be born again. As it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. See, the way we stay, and this is God transforming us. And the way we stay in the potter's hand is simply yield our members to God. Now, when we come to God, we're in the slavery of sin. So you can only yield to God so much, but you have to make an ongoing effort to keep the words of God. And you do it as the best you can. And then you'll be getting set free where you can do it more. See, you want to know why I speak so much about spiritual regeneration, the new birth? Because it is the key to overcoming. All right. And not only that, but walking in the ways of God become your passion as the more you're recreated. Now look at this about overcoming. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Titus 3:5, New International Version. He saved us, not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Ghost. Now, we can't earn it, but I want you to see as we yield to God, he can do this work of grace in our heart. And this is where people get confused. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's doctrines spoken that seduce people from the faith, like, oh, you got a whole new heart when you receive the Lord, or you can't lose your salvation, when the Scripture clearly says you can go back unto destruction. God can deliver you from certain bondage, and you can go back and get bound up again. We know that. We saw that in, I think it's somewhere in James, where it says sin can be conceived in you. More sin can get back in you, okay? And your heart can wax cold. You know, walking upright before God is not just shunning evil, but obeying the word of God. And many will say, oh, that's works. That seduces people's faith. They don't outright say, don't obey the word of God. But when you teach obedience and they say, well, we're saved by grace without works, that's true, but we're saved from being disobedient. Okay, we're saved and changed so we walk as obedient children. We love God by keeping his words. And the scriptures we've been looking at show we have to obey. We have to yield to God to be changed. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. So don't, you know, if they start saying, when you talk about obedience and walking with God, and they say, oh, we don't have to do that, they're deceivers, okay? And, you know, no, we don't earn our salvation. We're saved from being disobedient. We're saved from being rebels. So we walk in obedience to the word of God. Now look at Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship, that's being sent for obedience to the faith. We've received grace for obedience to the faith, but only grace to obey and grace. And I'm going to show you that grace as we obey. Okay. Romans 5:20, New International Version. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. Oh, wow. The law makes you sin more. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that as just as sin reigned in death, so grace might rule through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, here we get grace rules in our life as we obey. We get grace to obey, and the grace rules in our life. See, as we obey. If you think God's grace will automatically work in your life, then why does it say go to the throne of grace? You know, it's not like you receive Jesus and you've got an automatic flow of grace coming to you. You have to yield to God. Okay? Look at Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. We get grace to help us in our time of need. And it's talking about going through temptations. That's when we have a time of need. We need help. We need help because we're the flesh is weak, and we're still coming out of the slavery of sin, unless you've totally come out. See, so as you're going through temptations, go to God for grace. James 4:6, for he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Okay. Who are the proud? They won't yield to God. But he giveth grace unto the humble. Who are the humble? They yield to God. Okay. If you go back to verse one, I think a few scriptures later, I didn't write this one down. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, you have to understand something about grace. God gives grace to cause us to turn to him, and the grace reigns in our life as we yield to God and practice that. You can't just sit there and think, oh, I'm under grace. No, you're under grace if you make an effort to walk with God. Okay. If you just do your own thing, you're under the law. See, it says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, this about James, he giveth more grace. If you go back to verse one, it's talking about lust warring in us, and God gives grace to overcome it. Then it says he resists the prideful, but he gives grace to humble. So if you understand what it's saying, he gives grace, but you have to humble yourself to get the grace. Or we could say you have to make an effort to submit to God to get that grace, or have that grace reign in your life. Another thing is avoid getting under strict rules and ways where you can't do anything or enjoy anything. Then your heart will become frustrated. Okay? See, the devil, if he can't get you one way, he'll get you another way. You know? He'll either get you to think, oh, everything's cool, you can do what you want, you're under grace, you couldn't lose your salvation, or he'll get you he'll start quoting scripture, oh, you got to walk down the straight and narrow gate. You say, well, that's true. Yeah, but you go read that about the straight and narrow gate, and it talks about good fruit, and good fruit is a heart that's been made the righteousness of God, where it becomes your nature. Then walking down the straight and narrow gate will become your passion, okay? And then it's not so hard, okay? But if you get under the law, you ever heard some of these preachers, man, they'll be telling you, don't do this, don't do that, don't go here, don't go there. They'll be, you know, Lord over God's heritage. And it's frustrating. Okay, turn to 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, younger, submit yourself on the other. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth pride, but he giveth grace to the humble. Now, see here, you have to make an effort to yield to God. Yield to God's ways, and then you get grace. Okay? So, it's not automatic. And, you know, and there's Christians been seduced in the faith, and most Christians know don't commit acts of sin, but they don't think about the sins of omission, about how you have to practice the word. They don't even think they have to practice the word. They think they just, well, I'm a good person, I don't do this or this. Yeah, but do you read the word? Do you practice showing mercy? Do you practice being forbearing? Do you practice forgiving? Do you practice not thinking evil? Do you practice loving your neighbor? Okay. Do you practice setting your affection on God, not sitting there running around doing all these things in the world? And I'm not saying that you can't do some things you enjoy, but you know, you got to learn to set your affection on God. Now let's read this, James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoice is evil. It's evil just to boast, well, I'm going to go do this or that. What you ought to be doing is, I need to know what the will of God is. You should be seeking the will of God. Verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. See, sins of omission. You don't do the things you're supposed to do. Look at Matthew 12:50. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, and mother. And like I said, I talk a lot about spiritual regeneration because God wants to change your heart and work in you and make you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not where walking in the ways of God is some great burden. But there is times where you just have to make yourself. There is times where you have to discipline yourself to shun evil and do which is right in the sight of God. It doesn't all but come natural until you're totally transformed. All right? Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service of men, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Okay, let me leave you with this. Matthew 24:12. And you need to be aware of this. This is talking about in the end times, and we're living in the end time. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax old. Wax, not old, wax cold. Your heart can become hardened. We saw that in Hebrews 3 about harden not your heart in the day of temptation, the day of provocation. Same thing, your heart's being irritated during the temptation. Don't harden your heart. Your heart can be hardened. Sin in your heart will harden your heart. And so you have to make an effort not to let your heart be hardened. You have to make an effort not to let your heart grow cold towards God. Okay, now, if you sense that, ask God for grace. Go to God for grace. Keep going to God for grace. And let Him help you in your time of need. All right? I think I'm going to finish here. We're going to be right at 30 minutes today, and that'll be good. If there's anybody out there that you've never been saved, you've never been born again, this is your day. And let me tell you something, it's just as real as it can be. And I'll share this testimony. I've shared it many times. I'm going to share it again. I'd gotten born again when I was 17, but I didn't turn my life over to Him until I was 20. And about, I don't know how long after that, I was at work and I was doubting whether I was saved. And so I read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I said, okay, if I confess Jesus, Lord, believe He was raised from the dead, I'm saved. So I kept going over that. Okay, Jesus, You're my Lord. You were raised from the dead. And I kept saying that. And I finally stopped and I said, I believe that. I believe that. So I'm saved. And you can't go by feelings. But if you believe, you will have God working in your life. You will have God moving and the Spirit of God moving your life. But anyway, so I went up to the break room and I sat down and this strong peace came upon me. And thank God, God will do stuff to help you, to give you assurance. And like I said, don't go by feelings, but you will have changes in your heart. If you don't ever have any manifestations of the Spirit, anything going on in your life, you better seek God, okay? But anyway, so this strong peace came upon me, and all of a sudden this person stuck their head and they walked right, or they stuck their head right through the wall or where the door was, looked at me, smiled, and then they were gone. I could not see them with my eyes. I know that there was a person standing there. It was revealed to my heart. And so God, I said, well, I believe Jesus, You're my Lord, and I believe You're raised from the dead. And I went up there and a strong peace came on me. Then I had this person stick their head through the wall, smile at me, and they were gone. I've had many, many manifestations of the Spirit of God in my life since then. I've had the power of God work in my heart. I've cast out devils. I've had devils cast out of me. I've prayed for people, broken the oppression of the devil off them. God's power is real. And the Lord works in usward who believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. So if you want to know there's a God, you can find out. You can be assured of it. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and seek Him. You know, it says if you seek Him with all your heart, you'll be found Him. So anyway, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive You right now. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. I thank You that You died for me. You were buried and You were raised from the dead to justify me. If you've said that prayer and you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. Now, I know the church teaches you have a whole new heart, but I guarantee you, if you do a study of the Bible, you'll find it everywhere as God opens your eyes. It's an ongoing work of grace. Spiritual regeneration is an ongoing work of grace. And as you believe the gospel, yield your members to God, walk in the word, you'll keep being changed. You'll keep being spiritually regenerated. And the old things about you will pass away and all things will become new. But I want to lead this with all you Christians out there. You've got to maintain your spiritual life. You've got to make an ongoing effort. Your heart can wax cold towards God if you don't. Your heart can be hardened. There are people that slowly drift away from God. You know, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself. In other words, keep going to church. And you don't necessarily have to go to church building, but don't get away from the Word of God. Get around believers. If this may be your only church service where I'm ministering here in my broadcast, or you listen to another ministry on radio or television, maybe you're not where you can go to a church building. Doesn't necessarily have to be a church building. You just need to regularly hear the Word of God, be ministered the Word of God, and fellowship with other believers. Okay? All right. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.